As Europe was torn apart by war 100 years ago, a rebellion on the Monday after Easter started a revolution that would change the British Isles forever. 1,600 Irish rebels took over public buildings in Dublin, and they used the General Post Office as their headquarters, where one of the leaders, Patrick Pearse, declared an Irish Republic. Irish men and Irish women, the Irish Republic is entitled to and hereby claims the allegiance of every Irishman and Irishwoman. The Republic guarantees religious and civil liberty, equal rights, and equal opportunities to all of its citizens. The rebels fought the British Army for 6 days, but eventually surrendered, outgunned and outmanned, and for a long time the details of that surrender were erased. A woman named Elizabeth O'Farrell negotiated the end of the fighting, but her face was lost to history. Today, Ireland looks back to the contradiction, some with mixed feelings about celebrating a violent uprising. The history of the women who participated in the Easter Rising is also being remembered. This is thanks to the research of people like Dr. Mary McAuliffe, a lecturer in women's studies at University College in Dublin. Professor, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello.
So I gather this revolution that is not well remembered, even a century later, that was so critical, is not a Braveheart kind of thing. It's filled with energy, but not the kind of masculine energy we associate with, the Scottish Rebellion or even later on various 20th century rebellions. It was almost hidden by World War One.
Well, it does happen in the middle of World War One, and it is a small rebellion for all sorts of reasons. It only happened in Dublin and one or two other places in Ireland. So it's less than 1,500 people, including about 300 women who participate in this rebellion. But despite that, it is the foundation of the state. It's the beginning of the breaking of the link with Britain for Ireland at this time. And despite the fact that it only goes on for a week and about 400 people are killed on the streets of Dublin. When you compare that to 5,000 dying in one day on the Western Front, it does seem a very small occurrence in the middle of a great war.
It's important to think back 100 years of the importance of women as symbols, as martyrs, and as revolutionary leaders. I mean, there's Elizabeth O'Farrell in Ireland, but there are also very powerful women who helped to spur the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia and who maintained the sort of literary voice of revolutionary Russia as poets. Women were important all across the continent. Tell me a little bit about Elizabeth O'Farrell.
Well, Elizabeth O'Farrell is a member of the women's organization who are nationalist. It's Cumann na mBan. It's Irish for basically organization of women, set up in 1914 to provide a platform from which Irish women could express their nationalism and their feminism. They are inspired by all those political ideologies that are happening, not just in Ireland, but in America, in Russia, throughout Europe. Feminism, the fight for the right to vote, the rise of trade unionism and the rights of workers. Elizabeth O'Farrell would have been in the Irish Women Workers Union. And nationalism and the rise of the idea of the nation state. So Elizabeth joins all of these organizations, as do so many of the other women. And it's a young generation, a generation that have rejected the kind of more moderate politics of the previous generation. They want to do something and they want to do it very quickly. And they're quite willing to be militant about it, whether it's breaking windows as feminists, and going on hunger strike if they're imprisoned, or getting involved in a violent revolution. And many of them use culture as well. It's interesting that a number of the female revolutionaries are Abbey actresses, the Abbey Theatre being the national theatre set up by W.B. Yeats. Quite a number of them leave the Abbey stage and get involved in, I suppose, another performance, which is the Easter Rising.
Would you say that the sexual revolution that took place at the turn of the century, where all sorts of Victorian secrets about sexuality were coming very much to the surface, was a part of this revolution and emboldened women to find their own identities within this revolution?
Well, I certainly think it's part of it. You see, with the women – this young generation of women, a lot of them are making choices about who they choose to marry, which was an unusual thing in Irish society, indeed, in most Western societies at the time. Your parents really had an input on who you made a match with. And it was within your class and things like that mattered. But you see this young generation making their own choices. And you also have some of the women certainly make choices about living with other women and making their lives with, they refer to them as lifelong friend, dear companion, all that sort of thing. But what they're doing is they're creating families and households with these female partners, and they remain with them politically and personally for all of their lives. So you do see more radical choices being made around all sorts of things, politically and personally, in this period.
Dr. Mary McAuliffe is a lecturer in women's studies at University College in Dublin, celebrating, remembering, thinking about the Good Friday Agreement and the centenary of the Easter Rising moment that began the Irish independence movement. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.